Our next paper will be on wheat yield and protein response to sulfur in North Dakota and eastern Minnesota.
Yeah, thanks for coming. My name is Jasper Thibault, and I'm a soil scientist at the Carrington Research Extension Center. My presentation today is on wheat yield and protein response to sulfur in North Dakota and Minnesota. This study actually was inspired by some of the work that Dr. Kaiser has done here in Minnesota, and we had conducted a good number of studies in Carrington, North Dakota, and we realized, or when I went there, I actually joined the station almost 4 years ago, and we realized that some nitrogen studies which were done, they did not see response to nitrogen application. And we began to realize that some of the weak responses to nitrogen were due to sulfur deficiency, even though soil tests showed that sulfur content in the soil was high. So our goal actually is to improve our sulfur recommendation to produce high yields and quality grain at the lowest input possible. Our objectives are to determine if sulfur influences heart rate spring wheat yield and protein in the northern prairie region, and to identify if and what levels interactions may occur with nitrogen fertilization. And also we want to verify if there are important economic impacts of sulfur application to spring wheat. So some of the problems associated with sulfur recommendations, as about all of us or most of us know, that soil tests for sulfur are not mostly unreliable. And because of that, even many of our producers don't apply sulfur when their soil tests come up high, even though the amount of organic matter content or the texture, maybe it's a high clay soil that they have, actually are responsible for affecting the non-responsiveness of sulfur applied. So we know response to sulfur is influenced by soil organic matter content. It's been written that the amount of sulfur in soil is mostly in the organic form, at least 90 to 95% in the literature. In the response in medium textured soils, they are more or less likely, but very unlikely in heavy textured soils. The previous year's rainfall, amount of rainfall, can also impact the availability of sulfur in the subsequent years because of leaching. So in 2014, we conducted a study which we tested two levels of sulfur and a control to determine if wheat, hard-red spring wheat, would respond to sulfur. And we applied 150 pounds of nitrogen on top. The soil, we had about 39 kilograms of nitrogen in the soil. We applied our sulfur in the form of ammonium sulfate. And the result we got was high. We really saw some high response to sulfur when we look at the yield. And also when we look at the protein levels. Now there were significant differences between 11.2 pounds, which is kilograms, which is the 10 pounds of sulfur, as well as the 22.4 kilograms compared to the check plot, the check treatment. We did not see significant differences between treatment and looking at the protein content. Now, the soil test results from that field showed 90 kilograms of sulfur per hectare. We had 40 grams per kilogram, that's 4% of organic matter in the soil. Now, last year was a very unique one where yields were, we had record yields in North Dakota and in most parts of the northern prairie region. So, with very cool, with some cool early spring and cool summer, mostly cool summer, the plants were able, even it was dry land wheat, the plants were able to, the plants had enough moisture in the soil during summer, which is usually a problem for us, where dry land crops usually suffer from hydric deficit. So when we got these results, we were very excited. So we decided to put together a proposal to the North, to the Minnesota Wheat Commission to sponsor the same project, but to do the study across several sites in Minnesota. And we also did the same study in North Dakota. But from last year's study, what we showed the producer to get them excited was the fact that, please, you may ignore the units here, you may concentrate at this, on this column. And our rates, actually this was 0, 11 kilograms and 22 kilograms of sulfur. There was a net return of $26 per hectare and $28 per hectare when we applied sulfur. And that was an interesting result. So the Minnesota Wheat Commission accepted our proposal, and we decided to carry out this study at three different locations. In Minnesota, we did not get funding in North Dakota, where we are based, but we replicated the study at two sites. Now, our experimental design was a split plot in a randomized complete block. So we applied five rates of nitrogen at 0, 11 kilograms and 22 kilograms of per hectare of sulfur. And then our nitrogen rates went up from 0 to 240, at maybe about 260 kilograms per hectare. Now, our five locations were Minot in Ward County in North Dakota, East Grand Forks in Polk County in Minnesota, Thief River Falls, Ada, all of Minnesota, and the Carrington Research Extension Center in North Dakota. Now, the varieties planted were Prosper, Mayville, S.Y. Ingmar, Barlow at the two North Dakota sites. Now, last year we planted Barlow, we saw some good response. And this year, even though I will not be talking about that study, we actually did plant four varieties of wheat and applied, treated with sulfur, and we are actually seeing that Barlow is responding to sulfur, unlike the other varieties that we're using. So there may be something going on with Barlow. So our soil types, our soil texture classes, so we have seed loam, sandy loam, seed clay loam, seed loam, and loam soil. Now we wish we had had, we found a heavy soil to set up the study, because we don't expect response in a heavy or a clay soil. pH values right here, the soil organic matter content, 2.6%, down to 2.8% in Minot. Our sulfur levels, as you can see, these are our soil test results. It's more like a knee-jerk reaction where you do your soil tests, you submit your samples and ask for analysis, and they have to do the sulfur analysis. So these are the results that we the analysis of variance showing the yield and protein result by location. At the Ada site in Minnesota, we saw a good response to sulfur and nitrogen application, both for yield and for protein. And there was no interaction, so mainly the main effects are reported here, highlighted actually. East Grand Forks, we also saw a good response to sulfur application as well as nitrogen application for yield as well as for protein, except that the nitrogen response was weak in East Grand Forks. At the Thief River Falls, we only saw protein response as well as for the Carrington Research Extension site. Then at Minot, we saw an interaction between nitrogen and sulfur. Now, we are quite happy to see some of these results because when we talk to producers, we usually, when we look at the organic matter content and say it's 4%, sometimes we say 3.5% or 4.5%. We tell them you may not see a response to sulfur because of that high amount of organic matter. We have seen that actually sometimes your organic matter content may be high, but because of the climatic conditions, you may have adequate rainfall and temperature for sulfur to be mineralized, or in a region where we have really cool springs, we may not see early season sulfur mineralization in organic matter. That's when we usually will most likely see a response to sulfur, when the springs are really cool, and summers also cool. So looking at the wheat grain yield and protein response to nitrogen at Ada, you can see quite a really nice response there, and seeing significant differences between our nitrogen treatments, both for protein and yield. Looking at the grain yield and protein response to sulfur across nitrogen rates, while yields increased from the 0 to the 11 kilograms rate, there was a corresponding decline in the protein content. Now, we understand that sometimes when yields increase, especially with spring wheat, our protein levels sometimes tend to decline, probably because of a dilution effect. Now, one of the things that we are trying to accomplish is how we can improve on yield as well as the protein content. Then at the Minot site, what we saw, now at the Minot site, we realized that we understand that we saw an interaction between the nitrogen and sulfur. Now, at the 0 N rate as well as the 200 pounds rate, the response to sulfur showed that the yield declined at those two extremes. It is true that this is where we are more interested. And we saw that we are seeing some really strong responses to sulfur application when we apply 150 pounds of nitrogen. Now, in that area, 100 pounds of nitrogen would have been the recommendation. Now, one slide I just included here was for us to look at how the yields at this Minot site are increasing with the interaction, that's the treatment. We have no nitrogen, no sulfur, as well as no nitrogen and the 20 pounds of sulfur. Look at the grain protein content really increasing with nitrogen, as well as we're seeing some really good response to sulfur. Now, the size that we chose, we really expect that come next year, we will be applying our treatments, and we hope that weather permitting, we will be seeing some really good response that we may begin to see, determine if actually sulfur application at this rate would really be economical. So in summary, from 2015 results, we saw significant effect of sulfur application on yield at two sites. At the Ada site, which was most responsive site, grain yields and proteins were enhanced. There were some interactive effects on protein and yield at one site, which was minor. The results show that all the sites used for this study have potential to respond to sulfur. Further studies will be conducted to determine if that is true. With that, I would like to acknowledge the following people. Okay, thank you.